Start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Nice to see lots of new faces today. Just to kind of catch you up to speed, if you're just joining us, we are today in the final session of an eight-week series that we've been talking about, which has been about the Lord's Prayer, the Path to Peace. And it all started off several weeks ago when we talked about how our Lord promised to us that when we pray, that if we bring things to Him in supplication and prayer with thanksgiving, that He promises the peace which surpasses all understanding. So what we've been looking at is how to find peace, inner peace, real peace, through prayer. And what we agreed at the very beginning is a lot of times we pray, but we don't find peace because we may not be praying the right way, all right? Or we may not be praying in the correct manner. So what we've been looking at is how to pray the right way. And the model that the Lord gave us is the Lord's Prayer, which He gave to us in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. And we've been looking at it phrase by phrase. And it has been teaching us how to pray, okay? Using the words that He said to pray this way as a model for prayer. And we looked at many different phrases in it. And today we're at the last one that you see at the top of your hand out there. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And what I call this week is the prayer of blessing. This past week, if you are a television addict, you know there was an Indiana Jones movie festival that was on. Okay, very good. Some people didn't come to church because of it for that reason. Okay, others of us have TiVo for that purpose or whatever. Indiana Jones, one of my favorite sets of movies. I didn't like Temple of Doom as much, but Raiders of the Lost Ark was good. Last Crusade was excellent, okay? So if you haven't seen Indiana Jones, go out there and get it. The whole point of the movie, just to sum it up for you, Indiana Jones is on a quest to find the Holy Grail, which is the cup that our Lord used during the Last Supper. That has nothing to do with anything we're talking about. But the whole essence of the movie is him looking for something, and it always seems to be just out of reach. And finally, when he gets it, the bad guys snag it. And then he chases the bad guys to get it, and he gets it. And then it's always just like disappearing. It's always, it seems like it's on the brink of his fingertips, and it always eludes him. Till, of course, the very end where he gets it. Okay? Today's topic, which is the prayer of blessing, I believe has lots of similarities to Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, in that the idea of blessing, okay, or barakah, blessing is that thing which everyone is looking for, and we search all around, and just as we're about to get it, it slips away. And then we try to do this and this and this to get blessing in life, and then there it goes again. And some people, it seems like, can spend their whole life chasing it and never finding what real blessing is. Blessing is the one thing that everyone longs for, that everyone searches for. Even if you care about God or don't care about God, everyone wants the blessing of God in their life. Why? Because blessing makes all the difference in the world. If I'm poor and I'm hungry and I have nothing, but I have the blessing of God, I have happiness. And by the same token, if I'm rich and I'm a movie star and I'm an NBA player and I'm an NFL player and I'm a this and a that, but I don't have the blessing of God, life is miserable. So the blessing of God really does make all the difference in the world. Let me ask you this question. What does it take to be blessed by God? What does it take to get the blessing of God? Doesn't it seem like, I know it doesn't say so in the Bible, but let's be honest here. Certain people are just kind of tapped into God's blessing, and the rest of us just suffer in life. There's certain people that you look at, everything they do is blessed. They go to school, they get straight A's. They get married, they have the best family. They get kids, their kids don't cry. They have a car, their car lasts forever, all right? Everything they do seems to be blessed. Why is that? Why do some people seem to always find blessing, while others of us struggle around spinning our wheels and never seem to find it? Is it just that certain people are luckier than others? Is it just that God likes certain people better than others? Or is it just that some people are just destined to a life of curse and bad luck and everything just goes, the lights always turn red for them, okay? Is it just some people are this way and some people are that way? Well, I don't think so. What we want to look at today is how to find blessing in life. And our Lord gives us a formula here. And this last phrase teaches us that there are three secrets, okay? Three secrets to finding blessing in life. And if you learn these three secrets, you will have a blessed life, okay? And these three secrets are found in that verse right there, and they're all underlined, or you can circle them or whatever. The kingdom, the power, and the glory. If you want to know the secret to unlocking blessing in life, you must learn how to seek God's kingdom, how to depend on His power, and how to live for His glory, Okay? We'll take each one of those one by one. First aspect is how to be blessed by God. God blesses people who seek His kingdom. God blesses people who seek His kingdom. What does this mean? This means very simply that you make a determination in life that my goal is to do whatever God wants. My plan is whatever God's plan is. My dream is whatever God's dream is. And my whole life goal and agenda and everything is to do what He wants me to do. This is the opposite of what we usually do. Look at it from this perspective. Have you ever prayed the following prayer? Lord, please bless what I'm doing. Please bless this project, or bless this relationship, or bless this whatever. That's the wrong way of praying. The right way of praying is not, Lord, bless what I'm doing, but Lord, tell me to do what it is that you want to bless. Do you see the difference? Oftentimes we get ourselves in trouble because we decide, this is my career, and this is what it's going to be. God bless it. God, please bless it. And we struggle and we strive and we try to insist and bless this and bless this and we fight and this and that. Whereas the right way is in the very beginning, we say, God, which career do you want to bless? Not, God, bless this relationship. God, which relationship do you want to bless? Not, God, bless, you know, this habit or this career, or this whatever. Which path do you want me to go in is the path of blessing? Okay? Seeking God's kingdom means caring about what God cares about, because His kingdom is the most important thing to Him, and God blesses people who seek to do what He wants to do, not to do what they want. Our Lord really taught this lesson in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Lord gave His most famous sermon, which was called the Sermon on the Mount. In it, He talked about so many different things. Specifically, in Matthew chapter 6, okay, He talks about the different cares of this world. He's like, don't worry about your food. God takes care of the grasshoppers. He can take care of you. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about your clothes. And He goes through this laundry list of different things that, all the different items that me and you care about and we really worry about in life. And He teaches us, saying, just don't worry about those things. Live the right way. Put me first, and then I'll take care of those things. And He concludes that passage with an incredible promise, which we've all read, but I don't know if we've really understood it and digested it, which is Matthew 6:33 there. Our Lord says, this is again, after talking about, don't worry about clothes, don't worry about money, don't worry about drink, don't worry about food, don't worry about relationships. Look what He says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be added to you. Put my kingdom first. Put my goals first. And I'll handle all the rest of that stuff. This is a 100% money back guarantee that there's no loophole in this. Okay? What in life gives you 100% coverage? Is there any insurance policy that covers you 100% of the time? Or any cell phone plan that's 100% service? There's nothing that's 100%. This is 100%. This is seek my kingdom, and all these things that you worry about will be added unto you. Okay? Nothing to worry about if you put my priorities first. That leads me to understanding a little secret. I'm going to give you three secrets in life relating to each of these three principles here. And the first secret to life is that whatever I want God to bless, okay, whatever I want God's blessing in, that's the very thing I need to put Him first in. Okay? Again, the thing that I want God to bless the most, my marriage, my career, my relationships, my whatever, the thing that I need God's blessing the most is the thing where I need to put Him in first place in that, okay? That means if your career is struggling and you need to know what to do with your career, make God the number one priority of your career. If your marriage is suffering, make God the number one priority of your marriage. If your friendships are suffering, make God the number one, the area where you want the blessing. God says, put me first in that specific area. Question, where does God want to be first place in? What area is most important? Every area. There's no right answer. Every area. God wants to be first in every single area. Okay? And there's no area that He wants left out. Left out. He wants to be first in your social life, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. Every single area He wants to be first. I came across a nice acronym based on that, on the word first, that talks about five different areas where we need to put God first, but we usually don't put Him first, okay? Based on that little acronym, where does God want first place? First, in your finances, okay? In your financial life. I don't know how I can say this any more clearly. If you want blessing financially, you must learn to give generously. I can't say that any more clearly, okay? If you want blessing in your financial life, in your checkbook, okay, and in your credit card statements, and in your mortgage, and in this and that, you must learn how to give generously to God, specifically through your tithe, and hopefully even on top of that. I can't overemphasize that enough. I know that we don't like to talk about money, and we don't like to talk about numbers. I'm not going to talk to you about numbers, but I'm telling you about a spiritual thing. If you don't give, and if you don't make God number one in your finances, He's not going to bless that area. It's that simple, okay? There's no two ways about it. If you want to deny it, and you don't want to talk about it, or it's tough for you to hear, that doesn't matter to me, and that doesn't matter to God. It's a fact of life, and you do whatever it is that you want to do with it, okay? Bottom line here is that we say we love God, and God says, if you love me, literally, put your money where your mouth is, okay? Literally, put your money where your mouth is and prove it. And the whole concept behind tithing is not that God needs our money, but that God wants our hearts, okay? And the area that reflects my heart more than anything else, I can tell you I love you and I care about you and I'll do anything for you. But then once you come near my pocketbook, then we'll see who loves who, okay? Then we'll see how much I really care about you. And it's the same thing with God. If you really love God and He's really first place, He better be first place in your financial world, okay? So don't ask for blessing in the stock market if you're not giving. You're on your own. Do what you want. That's fine. No one's going to force you. But don't ask for God's blessing because the blessing is very clear. Thing is, I know couples, okay? When couples first get married, this is something that a lot of people struggle with, okay? Financially, for those of you who are getting married or whatever in your first year of marriage or whatever, financial is like the biggest problems that people have in their first couple years of marriage. I see two types of couples. There's one type of couple who says things are tight and things are struggling, so we'll do our best, okay? And we'll just do our best. Then there's another type of couple. And the other type of couple is the one that's blessed by God. And this is the type of couple that says, no matter what kind of debt we're in, no matter what kind of debt we're in, God gets paid first. If I have 500 bills waiting for me, not one of them gets paid until God first gets paid. And I know someone who said that. And this couple went through tough times financially and in debt, but they made a commitment together that they will not use God's money to pay off their credit card or to pay off anything else. That God got paid first, and if no one else got paid, no one else got paid. And that couple found a great blessing in their marriage, and I saw that with my own very two eyes. Okay? Why? Because the principle is very simple. Like I said, if you want blessing, you put God first in that area. The second area where God wants to be in first place, not just your finances, but your interests. Bless you. Your interests, meaning this could vary all kinds of things, whether it's your career or, you know, hobbies or, you know, recreation or sports or your social life, okay? Anything that you're interested in, God wants to be first place in that, all right? This is important to understand because sometimes people come, actually, I just, believe me, God is my witness, just had someone 10 minutes ago as I was rushing down here, someone stopped me. In the sermon I was talking about, give up that sin, that one thing, okay? And someone came to me and said that they really love FreeCell, okay? And they're addicted to FreeCell on the computer, okay? And they're just asking me, is it okay to play FreeCell all the time, or is this a sin? Do I need to give this up? What's the answer to that question? Is FreeCell bad? Is FreeCell a sin? Anything is a sin if God's not first place in it, okay? Is too much TV bad, or is TV bad? TV in itself is not bad, but too much of it. If that's your priority, I told her literally, it's bad if you're playing on Sunday morning between the hours of 9 and 11, then it's very, very bad, okay? So it's the same concept that if God is first place and FreeCell is second, that's okay. It may upset your wife or your husband or whatever, but whatever. It may not be good for your career, but that's between you and your career. But the point is that is TV bad? No, not as long as it's second. Is playing video games bad? No, not as long as it's second. But when any of those items moves to first place, then yes, it's bad. It's bad 100%, whether, like I said, it's TV, video games, shopping, computer, doesn't matter. Anything that becomes first place in front of God is bad. No two ways about that. Okay? So the right way to go about it is to have your interests, have your thing, and say, God, how do you want me to do, what do you want me to do with this? Do you want me to play freestyle at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday? Or would you prefer that I wait until 2 o'clock-ish or whatever, something like that? So put God first in your interests. Or your relationships. You want to see blessing? Put God first in your friendships, and your family, any kind of relationship that you have, marriage, business relationships, school relationships, your roommates, whatever it may be. Sometimes I joke with my wife, okay? And we talk about, I always want to be number two with her. I always want to be number two. I never want to be the most important person to her. And I don't ever want her to be the most important person to me. Because if I'm the most important person to her, I'm in trouble, okay? Because that's the role only God can fill. And if I'm supposed to try to fill the role of God, I'm sure going to disappoint. And I'm surely not going to be able to handle it. And I'm surely not going to be able to fulfill that role, because that's a big role. The safest place, the most comfortable place for me to be is number two slot, okay? And that's the same way I want everyone else in my relationships as well. If you put anyone number one before God, meaning you do what they want even if it's against what God wants, or you do what pleases them even if it doesn't please God, that person's become your God. And if that person's your God, you're in trouble, okay? Some people get confused by this. Isn't my spouse supposed to be number one and fill my needs, this and that? No. God is supposed to fill your needs, okay? And the way you should look at it is, God is like the cake, and your spouse should be the icing on the top, okay? God should fill my cup, and then my spouse should overflow it, okay? Very metaphorical and romantic here. But never rely on any person to fill your needs, because no one can do it. So I make God first in my finances, my interests, my relationship. S, my schedule. This is where we start to get practical. This is one that judges every single one of us. If I say, again, God is first with my mouth, then I look in my Palm Pilot and I don't see any spiritual, godly activities in there, then he really ain't number one, okay? Because you spell love, T-I-M-E, all right? I said before in the beginning, put your money where your mouth is. Well, you know what? Even more valuable commodity than money is time. Because money, I can always get more of it. But time is something that I'm very limited in. So if God was really important to me, he'd show up in my schedule. What I'm saying here is the same thing as the money concept. We talked about tithing your money. You should tithe your time as well. And specifically, I'll give you two ways that you can tithe your time, make God first in your schedule. You give God the first of every day, and you give him the first of every single week, okay? First of every single day, that before you do anything, before you rush to check your stock prices, before you go to ESPN.com, see what Terrell Owens did last night, before you go and send your emails or make your phone calls or eat your Wheaties or whatever it is you do, before you do anything, you check in with God. And you say, God, I look at it this way, like a soldier. Soldier reports and says, yes, sir, what's the orders for today? That's what a soldier does. Soldier doesn't come into work and say, you know, I think I'm going to, do this and do that and, you know, attack this country and, you know, defend this. And the soldier does what he's told. Well, how will a soldier know what to do unless he goes every morning, checks in, says, yes, sir. Okay? That's what you and I need to do with God as well. And then, in addition to that, is the first day of every single week. This one, it's nice. We got a very, very crowded room and the church was packed upstairs today, and that's excellent. It's excellent, but it should be like that every week. There's never an excuse, all right? I know you're going to say I'm unreasonable and I'm just a priest and I have to say this. There's never an excuse for missing church on Sunday, ever. There's never an excuse. There's never. Because God in the Old Testament commanded the day of the Sabbath. This isn't something that I invented. This isn't something that the church, this is God himself and the 10 original commandments. If you say there's a reason that I can miss the Sabbath, then you're saying also there's a reason that I can murder, commit adultery, lie, and steal, and do all those things. No, you can't break God's rules. The problem in life is we tell God, I'm going to show you my love and my dedication in this way, once a month. I'm going to show you my love by, you know, if I didn't make it to Sunday, I'm going to pray a little extra hard at home. He's the recipient. The recipient determines what the gift is, not the giver. Okay? I don't say, you know, happy birthday, I'm going to give you something that you have no use for. If you want to give me something that I need, something that I want. God says, if you want to give me a gift, not even if you want to, you should give me this gift, which is every single Sunday is the day of the Lord. It's your tithing, the first day of the week. Okay? No ways around that one. So that's in your schedule. And then the last area that you make God first to seek his kingdom is in your troubles. Troubles are your problems. And this basically means that when the problem comes, when the disaster strikes, the first thing that me and you automatically start doing is saying, how am I going to solve it? How am I going to get myself out of this one? How am I going to fix whatever situation I got myself into? Instead, God says, use those problems and turn to me. Prayer should not be your last resort. It should be your first option. And in everything, we turn to him and we make him first place in it. If God is really first place in those five areas that I just mentioned, you're in good shape, okay? Because that pretty much covers the spectrum of all the different areas in life where you could fall into idol worship. But if he's not first in any one of those areas, then I got news for you. Your faith and your talk isn't of much value, okay? It just becomes lip service, and it just becomes something that you talk and talk and talk, but it's not really there. How do I know? I could say right now, and you know, when we were kids, all of us growing up wanted to be in the NBA or be in the NFL or be whatever. All of us said it, but very few of us were willing to do what it takes to make it. You know, the practice and the getting up early and the not eating the donuts and the different things like that. That's what determines who really wants to be a professional athlete, not who talks about it. And it's the same thing spiritually. God says, you want to be blessed? First criteria is you seek my kingdom and make me first place. The second criteria for God's blessing deals with his power. And God blesses people who depend on his power. God blesses people who depend on his power. Look at Psalm 84, verse 5. Couldn't say it better myself. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. There's a blessing for the man whose power, whose strength depends on God, okay, and relies on him. Let's be honest. We're usually very self-sufficient kinds of people. And when it comes to depending, we depend on ourselves more than we depend on God. That's why God sometimes squeezes us into a corner. You ever been squeezed into a corner? The 9 times out of 10 when you're squeezed, it's for God to teach you this lesson, to depend on my power. And he knows that if we're not squeezed, we're never going to really rely on him and never really depend on him. Okay? And it's not until we learn to rely on him that he can bless us in our life and we can find real blessing. All right? Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. It says, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Those who are of faith is this issue of depending on God's power, are blessed with believing Abraham. Just as Abraham in the Old Testament was one of the greatest examples of faith and someone who relied on God and did what God wanted and relied on him to kind of make the situation okay, just as he was blessed, so those who do as he did will also be blessed. That's what that verse says. Those who are of faith are blessed as Abraham was blessed. Abraham got a lot of blessing. Abraham, remember in the beginning I was telling you about the guys who spin their wheels and the guys who find it? Abraham found it. Abraham, every time it talks about Abraham, talks about the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He found it. And the Bible says that we can find it too if we find the same faith and the same kind of depending on God. So let me ask you this question. Let me throw it to you. What are you relying on God for right now in life? What area of life are you depending on God? Or you're relying on his power? What area of life are you trying to do something that you just can't do? And it can't be done unless God himself does it. If there's no area of life that you're relying on God, then you're relying on yourself. And you can't do both at the same time, rely on God and yourself. What are you waiting for God to act upon? Look at Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, let it be to you. If you have no faith, and if you're not waiting for God to do anything, and if you're not depending on God for anything, God says, according to your faith, which is zero, let it be to you. Let the blessing be to you, which is zero as well. But if we learn how to depend on Him and rely on His strength, then we can find the blessing. That leads me to the second secret of life here, which is that in the beginning, remember I said that if you want God's blessing, you make God the first in that area. The second secret is that the more you want blessing, the more you learn how to rely on God in that area. Okay? So if you want a little bit of blessing, you just do a little bit of faith, a little bit of rely on God. But the more blessing that you want, the more you need to rely on Him. All right? If you're like me, this idea of depending on God isn't natural. Okay, it's kind of second nature. Naturally, problem comes up, I depend on myself, I figure out, like, we're self, like I said, self-sufficient kinds of people. Wouldn't it be nice if there's a way that I could practice depending on God, make it practical for me and you? Well, I believe there is. How can I practice or express my faith in God and build up my dependency on God by taking risks to grow and obey God, okay? By taking risks to grow and obey God. Let me explain what that means. The only way to grow is to stretch. If I want to grow my muscles, okay, I have to lift weights and I have to push them harder than is natural, okay? So if all I do is lift this, this is light, this is easy. Will this make me big muscles? No. But if I lift something that's too heavy for me, something that makes me stretch and makes me push and makes me strain, then muscles will grow. Agree? Same thing spiritually. Like I said, why does God pinch us? And why does God put us in a corner sometimes? So that our faith gets stretched. And sometimes He puts us in an area where we have no one and no way out except Him. Why? Because it's something that's a weight that's too heavy, and we need to learn how to push that sucker off to grow. Okay? So that's what that means there. Is taking risks to grow and obey God. The example I always think of, in the Bible there's lots of examples of people who took risks, okay, and put themselves out there and really stretched themselves for God's sake. The example I always think of is Moses. When Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, you know, they had a little fiasco near the Red Sea, all right? They had a little situation take place, which is, they were running away from the bad guys were behind them, and they're running, and in front of them is the sea. Cornered on both sides with mountains. So you got nothing on the left and on the right. You got the bad guys behind you, and you got the Red Sea in front of you. This is rock and a hard place, okay? This is a precarious situation right here. So they didn't know what to do. When the people saw that they were trapped, if you read in Exodus 14, well, I didn't put it all on there, but the story goes, you can read it when you get home, the people, their response to the situation was classic. People said, and I quote, they said to Moses, "Was it because there were not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" Okay? Really positive, uplifting kind of people. Really faithful people. Saying, "We're dead, and it's your fault. You should have just let us die there." Is that the reason? They're saying sarcastically. You didn't want us to die there because not enough graves. You want us to die in the middle of nowhere? Real upbeat kind of people right here. Must have been Egyptian. They spent time in Egypt. That's why they're leaving Egypt. They carried the spirit with them. Basically, the people had given up. No faith. When Moses responded to them, he had a different response. Moses said, "Don't be afraid." This is not in your handout. He said, "Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today." Again, "Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today." Sounds spiritual, right? Sounds like a good answer, right? The Lord didn't like his answer. That's odd. Why? It seemed like the spiritual thing to say. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be scared. The Lord liked it, except for one piece of it. Guess which piece? He didn't like the stand still part of it. Look how the Lord responded to all three of them. Exodus 14, verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." What's the difference between standing still and going forward? It's this idea of taking a risk. This idea of stretching yourself. Faith is not easy. Faith is not comfortable. If it was comfortable, it wouldn't be faith. Faith means stepping out before the solution is there. Okay? As they move forward, you know, as God commanded them, go forward, they took a risk, they stepped out in faith, and the sea was parted. Great miracle happened this day. But it wasn't going to be parted while they were just standing there watching. See, that's the way we like it. That's the comfortable way. God part the sea, and then I'll get up and walk through. It doesn't work that way. God solve all my problems, then I'll be a good Christian. You solve my financial problems, then I'll give. You make me win the lottery, then I'll give. You make my boss die, and then I'll stop working on Sundays. No problem. We like it that way. And that's the way Moses could have been. God, you build a bridge, then we'll start to move forward. God, you send a helicopter, then we'll move forward. God, you bring one of those G.I. Joe hovercraft things, then we'll move forward. That's not the way it works. That's not faith. Real faith is taking a step in the direction that God wants you to before you've seen anything. That takes risks. Okay? And that's exactly what I'm talking about right here. Okay? Stepping out in spite of the uncertainty or the weakness or the whatever it is that may be. Okay? So remember, this is important, that God didn't get rid of Moses' fears. Right? Moses was probably terrified as he's taking that first lunging step into the ocean, right? Into the sea. God didn't remove his fears. God didn't remove the sea. Faith is moving ahead in spite of your fears. Okay? Moving ahead in spite of your uncertainty or whatever it is that may be. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Again, says it so clearly. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Moses saw this during the Red Sea incident. He trusted in God. Did he get a blessing? Boy, you better believe it. That's the greatest miracle in the history of all the world. The Red Sea parted in two? How many of us can say that we've seen anything like that? But he got it because he trusted in God, and God was faithful, and God honored it. So I throw it back to you. What area of your life do you need to go forward, step out, take that risk? Maybe, relating to what I said earlier, it's the Sunday thing. Maybe you need to start being one of the people who says, you know what, I'm committing to church on Sunday, and if my boss gets upset, my boss gets upset. You know, I'm committing to a life, I'm avoiding this sin, and if it ruins my social life, so be it. I trust in God. God will provide me more friends. God will take care of the situation. I'm going to be faithful in my whatever area, and I trust that God will provide. What area do you need to take that step of faith in? Don't worry, God will reward it. All right? So God blesses the first aspect, those who seek his kingdom. Number two, those who depend on his power. And number three, God blesses people who live for his glory. You must make a decision in life. Who will get the credit? You or God? Again, natural, human being, glory me. Credit me. Everyone clap for me. I want the attention, I want the credit. God says, that's fine, but don't ask for blessing. Okay, you do what you want, you get what you want. If you want my blessing, then you live for my glory. What I always think of here, is, you know, do you remember the parable that our Lord gave in Matthew chapter 25 about the talents? There was a master. Three servants came to him. One he gave 5 nickels, one he gave 2 nickels, one he gave 1 nickel to. And then each one of them went off and did whatever it is they did. This one with the 5 went out, earned another 5, gave him back 10. This one with 2, earned another 2, gave him back 2. This one with 1 just buried it, just kept it and said, here, Lord, here's your 1 back. I was scared to lose it. How did the Lord respond to the first two, the ones who made something for him and gave him something back? Look what he says in Matthew 25, 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This is what I'm talking about right now. It means living for God's glory. Is who? God gives each one of us nickels. Some he gives 5, some 2, some 1. He gives each one of us. Who's going to take their talents? Who's going to take their nickels? Who's going to take their stuff that they have given them and use it to further God's glory? Use it to bring glory to God. Use it in service to him. Use it to dedicate and consecrate that nickel to him. How? How do I do that? How do I bring glory to God? Well, very simply, I can live for God's glory by using my abilities to help others. Okay? by using my abilities, using the nickels that God gave me, all right? God gives each one, like I said, stuff, and God wants us to use it for his benefit, and we benefit him by benefiting others, by helping other people, right? Because you can't serve God. God is not physically on this earth, but you serve God by serving others. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that in all things God may be glorified. Notice it says, as each one has received a gift, it doesn't say as you received a gift, use it to make a lot of money. I gave you a smart brain, and I gave you a hard work ethic, use it to make a lot of money. Or I gave you, you know, a comfortable life, use it to play as much Xbox as you can. Or use it to sleep as much as you want. Or use it, doesn't say any of that stuff. It says use it to minister to one another. And notice that when you minister to one another, God gets glorified in the end. Okay? Again, this is a fact of life. Each one of us has been programmed with different capabilities, different abilities that no one else has. I have a gift that no one else in this entire world has, and you have a gift that no one else in this entire world has. God made us individual, okay? So there's something that you can give to the body of Christ, which, you know what? If you don't do it, it ain't going to get done, because you're the only person in the world who has that unique gift and ability, whatever in the world it may be, okay? And what God is saying right now is that I've given you that not to be selfish with, not to use for yourself, but to use it for my glory in helping and serving other people. Every one of us must be a minister somehow of God's grace. If you're not a minister of God's grace, then what you're saying is, I haven't been given any gifts. You have the guts to look up to God, and after all that he's done, you say, thanks for nothing. You have the guts to do that? I don't have the guts to do that. I know he's given me stuff, and I know he's given you stuff. And the goal is, like I said, for you to take it and use it in service of other people. We have a nice event coming up soon in the church on September 11th, okay? Not next Sunday or the Sunday after, the one after, all right? It's, you know, we celebrate the Coptic Nowruz on that day, and what's also the day we commemorate our fallen brothers who fell in September 11th. So it's a day that we remember martyrs all the way around. And since it comes on a Sunday, we're going to use that as a chance to really spend the day together in unity as one family. And we're going to have, like we said before, like a barbecue and food and different things like that. But there's even better part of it for every one of you, and I hope you'll be here for it, which is there's going to be different tables set up, and it's going to be a chance for you to see all the different ministries, activities, services, whatever that this church does right here. All right, and the goal is, the number one, everyone learns what's available to them in the family, and we're going to have different giveaways and stuff like that. But even more so, I would hope that you would see this ministry and say, you know what, I have these same skills, and I'm glad you guys are doing it. Put my name down. I'd love to help out. Okay? That's the goal of it, is that the church has many, many different things going on, and whatever talents or gifts you bring to the table, use it for God's glory. All right? And hopefully September 11th will give you guys a chance to do that. Because God wants you to use your gifts for his glory. So, remember I said secrets of blessing here. And I said the first secret of blessing is any area I want blessing, put him first. Second, I said the more I want blessing in any area, the more I depend on him in that area. Third secret right here is the more that I use my gifts to bless others, the more God will bless me. Okay, the more I use what I have given to bless others and help others and serve others, the more God will bless me. This isn't rocket science, okay? This is not complicated, people. God made the rules of the world, and the rules are simple, that the more you give, the more you receive. And that true blessing is not in receiving, but true blessing is in giving. There's no other way around that, okay? So don't be confused, how come there's no blessing in my life? If you're living for yourself, never find blessing, because the rule is that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So with that, I throw it back to you. There's got to be some gift that you have that you can use for God's glory somehow. And believe it or not, it doesn't take much. Sometimes we think that to be a servant, a monk or a priest or, you know, a PhD, or that doesn't need anything. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 7 on the back of your handout. The Bible says that even something as simple as receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Something as simple as welcoming someone when they walk into church. Something as simple as being a greeter. Someone who just shakes people's hands and helps them. Hey, there's a parking spot down there. Something as simple like that brings glory to God. So again, I throw it back out to you. Has God blessed you? The answer is yes. If so, what are you doing in return? How are you using that blessing to bless someone else? Name me one area in life, and I really hope everyone can name at least one, that you are doing something completely unselfishly. Nothing for yourself. Name one area, at least one area, that you're doing something. If you're not, if you can't name anything, don't ask for God's blessing. Because God says that I bless those who bless others, and I give to those who give to others unselfishly. Proverbs 11:25, the top verse there. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Do you understand what that means? He who's generous will receive a lot, and he who waters will himself be rewarded. He who blesses will be blessed. Okay? It's not, again, it's not rocket science. It's simple right there. Do you know why that you have to give in order to be blessed? Do you understand the reason why? Okay, when we pray the Our Father, like I said, it says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, and the blessing. Oh, sorry, for thine is the kingdom, not the Our Father. When we sing Holy Week, we sing, thine is the power, the glory, the blessing, and the majesty. That's right, man, not the Our Father. That's a quote from the Bible. It comes from the book of Revelation, and in heaven, they're always singing to God, thine is the power, the glory, the blessing, and the majesty. First, a side note. When we pray that prayer during Holy Week, we don't pray, thine is the blessings. A lot of people say blessings. It really annoys me. One of my pet peeves. It's not blessings. It's blessing. Just like we don't pray, thine is the powers, okay? Or thine is the kingdoms. No. God doesn't have many powers. He has all power. God doesn't have many kingdoms. He has one kingdom, and it's the only kingdom that matters. And God doesn't have many blessings. God has one blessing, and God is all blessing. If God is thine is the blessing, and all blessing comes from him, look at it this way. This is going to be a little hard, but follow me here. Thine is the blessing. Blessing belongs to him. The only way for me to get more blessing is to give more. Why? Because when I give is when I'm most God-like. Because God, from start to finish, and from first verse of the Bible to last verse of the Bible, from beginning of creation to the end of it, is a giver. He's someone who gave his life. He's someone who gave his son. He's someone who gave eternity. He gave. And that's why we say that in order to have blessing, which belongs to him, I need to act like him, and that means be a giver, okay, and give of myself. Because the bottom line is, God doesn't bless talents, God doesn't bless money, God doesn't bless abilities. What God blesses is one thing, willingness, okay, the willingness to use it. You don't need lots of stuff to give, you don't need lots of stuff to find blessing. All you need is a willing spirit. And I'm telling you, if there's someone, I hope each one of you, you walk out of this room today and say, you know what? God, I will seek your kingdom. I will depend on your power to get there. And boy, will I live for your glory. Believe me, if you walk out of here with that attitude, there's no limit to what God will do in your life. I promise you. I promise you, there's no limit to what God, the blessings that he will pour out on a person who walks out and says, your kingdom is number one in my life, more important than anything else. My finances, my interests, my relationship, my schedule, my trouble, my anything. And then he says, in order to get there, I'm going to depend on your power and rely on you and take those steps of faith. Well, I don't know, nothing that's going to happen. And then thirdly, in everything I do, I want to live for your glory. I don't want to live selfishly anymore. I want to live for your glory, and anything that I've been given, I want to use it to give others. There is nothing God won't do for that person. Because, again, this isn't rocket science. You want blessing in life, it's very simple. Become blessable. That's it. Become a blessable person. Become someone who God can bless by seeking his kingdom, depending on his power, and living for his glory. Closing statement that I'll leave off with is our Lord said it very, very nicely in John chapter 13, verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. The life of blessing, my brothers and sisters, is not far away. It's not the Indiana Jones. It's not the Holy Grail. It's right there. And the question is who wants to go get it? Anyone got any questions? All right, let's stand for prayer. Yes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, for this day that you have given to us. And we really realize today, dear Lord, that you have blessed us beyond measure. And there's nothing, dear Lord, that you withhold from us. And so often we complain, or we're grumbling and bitter, and it's only because we ourselves, dear Lord, are not making ourselves blessable to you. But each one of us, dear Lord, really wants to commit to you today to live a blessable life, to seek your kingdom in every area of our life, to really depend on you and depend on your power, not depend on ourselves, and to really live for your glory. All we want, dear Lord, is that you would take our life and use it as a tool in your hand to do whatever it is that you want to do with it, dear Lord. We put ourselves, we put our church, we put everything in your hands. And we know, dear Lord, those are the hands of blessing. I pray, dear Lord, a special blessing and a special strength and a special grace upon every single one of us, dear Lord, that you would give us the willingness to become people of blessing. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the intercessions of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, with the prayers of St. Mark and all of your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.